God, bless these words to our hearts. Lord, anoint our ears to hear, anoint our hearts to receive, and give us a rich portion from your heart, from your throne. And Father, we pray that the words that be spoken be life and that they be spirit. In Jesus' name. Proverbs 16:25. The Word of God says, you don't need to turn there, you can if you like, but we'll just be there for a moment. The Word of God says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seems right. There is a way in the world. And in the world, I feel I have to be responsible when I do. I'm not against responsibility, and I'm all for it. But where does it come from? There is a way that seems right to a man. But it is the end of it is the way of death. It leads me onto a path. The way that is responsible, the way that is right, the way that is correct to a man is frequently the way that they walk when they see. And they look at things and they evaluate them. And they consider. They go on the internet. They figure it out. This happens to believers, happened to us, hasn't it? People say something because they are motivated by the Revelation 12:10 method of doing things, where Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And they listen, and they evaluate, and they consider. And they do it with their natural mind, but they do not examine the fruit of the tree. It doesn't occur to them. The way that that leads to is a way of death. I don't have the right to examine anything apart from the fruit. God gives no other provision. What is the fruit? And this is what you know the tree by. Examine its fruit. There is a way that seems right to a man in his decision making. What am I going to do? Well, I have to make my way in this world. I have to find my place. I have to make sure my kids get a good education. And certainly there is nothing wrong with those things. I'm all for them. Believe me. I've got 5 college degrees. I'm not against a good education. But that way can be the way of death. We consider what we will do. I can get a better job elsewhere. I can make more money there so they can buy a bigger house and a nicer car. So I can leave my children with an inheritance. But it may be a way of death. Now, I'm not saying those things are wrong in and of themselves. They're not. But they may be the way of death. Why do I say that? Because it is the Spirit that gives life. You see, it is not the way in my natural reasoning. It is not the way in how I can figure it out. And it is not the way in what my sight can tell me. It is not the way when I reason like the world reasons with a natural mind in a horizontal perspective rather than a vertical one, hearing from the Holy Spirit of God for my life. That horizontal way will lead me to death. If I hear from the Spirit of God for my life, if I'm led in all things, if I don't walk by sight but I walk by faith, because without faith it is impossible to please Him. And we say it as Christians, it rolls off our tongues so easily, but do we really live there? Well, I do my best, really. Where does faith come from? Romans chapter 10. Faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. So apart from these things, I'm going to be on a way of death. And what does that mean? A way of death. Like, what is it? Is it the way that I'm going to get killed? Am I going to go into drugs or something immoral? No. Not at all. Those things are the result of a way of death, but they are not the way of death. In Philippians chapter 2, 5, the Word of God says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You see, now we are getting an inkling of what it means to be in the way of life rather than the way of death. The Word of God says, "I set before you this day life and death, and just in case you can't figure it out, choose life." He makes things very plain, very simple. Choose life, don't choose death, choose life. You've got the option. Choose life. Now, if you would turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 6. And starting in verse 3, the Word of God says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this..." Let's stop there just for a second. A lot of believers see the goal of their Christianity as being to come to the cross of Christ. I have news for you. If you think that the goal of your Christianity is to come to the cross of Christ, you don't know what it is to have a relationship with Him. I'm sorry if that hurts you, but it is the Word of God. My life does not end at the cross. My life begins at the cross. Christ did not get to the resurrection until after the cross. He had a natural life in this world, a biological life, and though He had a wonderful relationship with His Father, He did not do anything that He did not see of the Father from Him. Yet, His resurrection life, the life that was eternal life, did not come prior to the cross. It came after the cross. You see, this is the thing of the believer. They live a natural, biological life. They try all their life to get to the cross, never realizing that their life starts at the cross, where the resurrection life begins, the life of God in them. You see, "I have been," past tense, "crucified with Christ. And then I live. But it's not me that lives. It's Christ that lives in me. And this becomes my life. The life of God imparted to a sinful man, because that sinful man has gone to the cross and experienced his own crucifixion with Christ. It's a done deal. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto self, and alive unto God. Life starts with death. It's not the other way around. Death does not start with life. Life starts with death. I go to the death of the cross. I go to the death to self. I go to the death of the old sin nature, the old man that lives in me. And from there, I enter into the resurrected life, the life that is eternal, so I can be seated above in heavenly places, not just in my position, but in my daily experience. This is the life that Jesus says that He came to give more abundant in John chapter 10. I came to give you life, and life more abundant. People say, "Oh, what is more abundant life? I suppose it's the life I will have when I die." No. It's the life that God came to give you now. It's the eternal life for an eternal soul that lives in an eternal kingdom, seated on an eternal throne. You see, we have been raised together with Christ. We are seated together with Him in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. And this is our place now. The difference is that for some it is simply a position that they will enter into when they go home to be with the Lord, and for others it is the daily experience of their practical life. And which one is me depends on my relationship to His Word, to the cross, and to the Spirit of God. You see, this is life. That we have been crucified with Him, nevertheless we live, yet not us, but Christ who lives in us. This is the way of life as opposed to the way of death. Many believers try to get to the cross. They try to deny themselves in an ascetic manner of doing things. Oh, I shouldn't feel bad. God loves me. Well, that'll go far. I shouldn't get angry. That's wrong. Yeah, knock yourself out. You know when I start to experience the life of God? When I stop experiencing the life of self. You know when that comes? When the Word of God enters into my frame of reference and the Holy Spirit initiates the human spirit that then initiates the human soul. And the human soul is that part of man that fellowships with the world. Or he can fellowship with the human spirit. When the Holy Spirit initiates through the Word of God to the human spirit, and the human spirit imparts the life of God to the human soul, that is when I start experiencing the life of God in me. And it comes through His Word. Only through His Word. You know why? Because the Word became flesh. A lot of believers try to get to know God apart from His Word. They don't eat the book. They may read their Bible. But does it saturate? It's imperative that I have the Word of God. It is absolutely imperative that I have the Word of God, because apart from the Word of God, I cannot have the life of God. I cannot have that abundant life, because the Word became flesh and Christ's life is meant to be my life, not my life, and that's it. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. That's what God came to give. And anyway, let's continue. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. I like that. If we be dead with Christ, we will also be raised with Him. Do you really believe that those promises of God are just for heaven? If we are the children of God, are they not for us now? Do you really believe that that which God had prepared for us is something that He's going to withhold until later? Then why is it that Christ died before the foundation of the world? He did. Revelation 13:8. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. God didn't come to withhold. God came to give us that life. God came to give us all things. God did not come to withhold anything. God came to give us a richness and a kingdom and a wealth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given unto you. It doesn't say in heaven when you die from this earth. No. It says now and here, and you can experience the fullness of the richness of your position with God in your everyday details of life. You can have a rich fellowship with Him. And this is the plan that was ordained before the foundation of the world. Jeremiah said, you knew me from the womb. You had devised a plan for me. There's a plan for my life. God put it together. And He put it together before I even had a brain cell in my head to think with. These people who don't believe that God puts a plan, that He devises a beautiful plan for the believer, they don't know God. That's not God's heart. That's not God's spirit. If that was God's heart, He would have never died before the foundation of the world. Anyway, let's continue. knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death had no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lived unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. Reckon this, believe this, count on this. Establish this in your own mind as being the fact of the matter. Reckon yourself also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, where did this come from? The sin thing. See, I think one of the things that trips us up as believers, and that's actually kind of what we're going to talk about today, is what is this sin thing that so many believers are so hung up about, but I believe that they truly do not understand what it really means in a scriptural sense. Because they are still trying to wrestle with it in their own lives. Well, my place is not to wrestle with it. That was Christ's place. He died and cleansed me in Revelation 1:5. He washed me with His blood from all my iniquities. It was God's job. Let's take a look at this. In Romans chapter 6, 23, the Word of God says, "For the wages of sin is death." For the wages of sin is death. That word wages there is an interesting word. It doesn't just mean payment. It actually talks about something that is given to eat. The food of sin is death. Now, in Romans 14, 23, in the brief part of the verse, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. In Romans chapter 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Now, let's turn to Genesis and take a look where all this began. Let's start in verse 21 here. Unto Adam also, and unto his wife, this was after they had eaten, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take up also the tree of life, and eat and live forever." Now, this sounds like a very harsh thing. But Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown point out that in the original language, this was actually God pitying the man. He said, "Oh goodness, look what happened to the man. He has eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and now he is as one of us." Now what does this mean that he is as one of us? Because the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that word there, knowledge, is not what most people think. It comes from the Hebrew word yada. And it's a knowledge that is gained by the empirical senses. It's a knowledge that is gained by walking by sight. You see, man was not created to walk by sight. Man was created to walk by faith. Man was created to walk in a relationship with God where the only consideration he had was God's Word. The only consideration he had was that which was imparted to him from God and God alone. And this was why God was looking for Adam in the garden, because every day he would meet him there. And they would learn the Word of God, Adam and Eve. So what happened to the man? God said, "Oh goodness, man has no capacity because he was not created with omnipresence. He was not created with all knowledge. He was not created with all wisdom. And now he is evaluating by sight. Look what happened to the man. He is as one of us who can see, but he cannot evaluate like we can." So this was actually an issue of pity and of sorrow for the man. It was not anger. It was sorrow. In Genesis chapter 3, this is what happened. In verse 7, "And the eyes of both of them were opened, And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig trees together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And here it comes. Do you know where man fell? Most people would tell you that he fell when he ate from the tree of knowledge, that was the fall. Others would tell you when God kicked him out of the garden and the curse was brought in, that was the fall. But neither one of them was correct. The fall came in Genesis 3:9. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And here we go. And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." You see, the prohibition when it was given in Genesis chapter 2 said something very simple. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. You will surely become separated from me the day that you eat of the tree of knowledge. When did that separation take place? Genesis chapter 3. "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." You see, what happened that man fell? What happened that he separated? It was not by God's choice. It was by man's choice. As he walked by sight, apart from the mind of Christ in him, that he hid himself and separated himself from God. This is why in John it says, "I did not come to condemn any man, but to save him." This is why it says, if you don't believe, you're already condemned. Because we have condemned ourselves. We, Adam, had separated himself from God. And he did it because of fear, because he did not know the mind of Christ. And when he left the mind of Christ, when he started walking by sight and not by faith, when he started trying to evaluate the fact that what he could see rather than what he heard, he separated himself from fear because in his lack of fellowship with God, he stopped receiving the love of God which casteth out fear. And so he fell as he separated himself from God. You see, the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The prohibition could have been of none effect because the sin was already taken care of. The lamb was already slain on the fourth day in Genesis chapter 1, where the stars were given for signs and for seasons. That is not talking about signs and seasons of the year. That is talking about the events of the gospel, the entire gospel. In the Old Testament, when Daniel was in Babylon, he started a Bible college. The entire Bible was put out into the stars in Psalm 19. The Word of God is written in nature. You see, the finished work was finished before the world began. That mistake that man had made was already taken care of. The fall did not come by the mistake. The fall came by wrong evaluation, where he saw by sight that he was uncovered and became afraid because he broke fellowship with the love of God. This is something you haven't heard before. But it's in your Bible. It's in your Bible. The fall came when he broke fellowship. Man broke fellowship. God did not break fellowship. God was in the garden looking for him. Do you think that the all-knowing God did not know that Adam had eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? That wasn't hidden from him. He came anyway. And he came looking for him. And Adam did the hiding. Adam did the separating. God didn't do it. Adam did. And then in God's mercy, he took them out of the garden, because if they ate at the tree of life again, they would live for all of eternity in a completely separated state from God, in fear. And so it was the mercy of God that took them out of the garden, so they could not eat at the tree of life, because death needed to come. Why did death need to come? Well, where do you go when you die? We were created in a garden, and we end up in the house of the groom. We end up as the bride of Christ. We were not created in heaven. In Matthew, I think it's chapter 27, the Word of God says that when Christ rose, the souls of the dead rose with Him. Before that, people were like Lazarus and the rich man when Lazarus went into the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man who was in hell and tormented saw the rich man across a great gulf that was fixed. He could see him. This is why Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will go with me into paradise." He didn't say, "Today you'll go with me into heaven." We were created, in a manner of speaking, in a separation, inasmuch as we did not abide physically in our literal beings, we did not abide in heaven with God. We were created in a garden. And then we hid, and that's where we fell, in the hiding from God. We fell because we no longer had fellowship with the love and the mercy and the grace of God. Because we started to evaluate on a horizontal plane. Surely, in the day that you eat thereof, you will be separated from me. God did not say, "I will separate you." He said, "You will be. You will separate yourself from me." What's the very first thing that He did? He brought in the very first death. And He covered them. He didn't separate Himself from them. He covered them and He gave them a promise. In Genesis chapter 3, after He covered them, He said to them, "Christ is coming. Christ is coming." And on the foundation of that coming of the Lord, you will be reconciled to Me. You see, this is in Romans 8:6. "For to be carnally minded is death." What is carnally minded? When my mind is oriented to my flesh, when my mind is oriented to the world, this is carnally minded. And it is where death is. It is where separation is. When I start to evaluate on a horizontal platform, it is separation from God. But to be spiritually minded is life. When I don't separate myself in my mind from the Word of God, when I don't separate myself from the Spirit of God, it becomes life. And so, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God, and without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So I live by faith and not by sight. Because I have a life that is in me, that is imparted through my relationship and my fellowship and a communion with the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And so I don't live in that separation like Adam did. And this is the meaning of the cross in a practical sense for every believer while they are here on earth. I don't live in the separation from God. I live by death to self unto God in a communion with the Holy Spirit, because to be spiritually minded is life. To be carnally minded is that separation. And death came into the world in Romans 5:12 by one man. And life then comes into the world by a second man. And the cross that second man brought to me as the believer and on my behalf as my Savior. See, this is where we get the life of God. This is where we get that life abundant. This is where we get that fullness of joy. This is where we get that satisfaction and that peace on the, in the heart that only God can bring. It's not through living in a law or an ascetic work, and it's not by my own efforts. It's by the Holy Spirit producing something in my heart as I receive. The psalmist says, "What shall I render unto God for all that He has done for me?" Isn't that what David said? "What shall I render unto God for all He has done for me? I will drink the cup of salvation. I'm going to drink what He has given me, and I will take. And what will I give Him for giving me? I will take some more. Because what is it that I can give to God that He doesn't already have? I simply take more. This is what I was created for, to receive from God, not to try to produce anything. Cain learned that the hard way. I simply receive from God. And as I receive, my life becomes transformed, and I become transformed into the image of Christ. I receive from God. As believers, we need to learn one thing more than anything else. We need to learn how to receive from God. We don't need to learn how to work it up. We don't need to learn how to make it all pretty so that it looks right, so that when we go to church, other people won't say to us, "Oh, well, you're doing pretty good today, I can see." That's not what it's about. It's not about a facade. It's about the life of God in a man. A fallen, sinful, little dust ball. And that's all we are. But we're dust balls that God loves. And He died for. And He imparts His life to us. And He's cleansed us with His blood. You see, this is the beauty of the gospel. This is the beauty of the finished work. That God loved the man. That God loved the man. And so even though the man hid himself, God went after him and He said, "Adam, where are you?" And He knew where Adam was. But Adam needed to wake up to the fact that he was now hiding from God. "Adam, where are you?" "Well, God, I was afraid because I was naked. And so I hid myself. I was afraid. Fear came. Because of the shame, because I was naked, and then came my separation." You see, this is the whole point of walking in faith. Why? Because perfect love casts out that fear. The blood takes out that shame. The cross eliminates that separation. In Romans 5:10, the Word of God says, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." We were His enemies. We were turned against Him. And He came and reconciled Himself to us. How did He do this? He switched places. Consider this. Adam hid in the garden and separated himself from man. And in Matthew 27 and verse 45, "Now the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour, and about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He switched place in the separation. Christ separated Himself from the Father in my place, so I would no longer be separated from the Father. We traded places. He was seated above and He came down to the earth. I was on the earth and now I'm seated above. I was a sinner and He was innocent of sin. And He made me innocent and became my sin. We switched places. I was fallen and He took me and He paid that price and He raised me up. You see, this is the beauty of the gospel. That man separated himself to God and God switched places. He sent His Son and He separated Himself from the Son. And so where God was saying at one time, Adam, where are you? Now He is saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? He switched places. Why did we switch places? So that we could have His place. I love the fact that when Mary came to the tomb and she spoke with Jesus, He didn't say, okay, now I'm going to go to heaven. But He said, no, tell my brothers to meet me in Galilee. After He had risen, the very first thing was not to go to heaven. The very first thing was not to see the Father. The very first thing was to see those He died for. You see, He had been asking for a long time, Adam, where are you? He missed the man. He missed the man. And so before He would go back to see His Father, He wanted to see the man He missed so badly. Why? Because that was His bride. That is why we were created. That was His bride. In 1 Peter 4:6, in closing, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead. Who was it preached to? To them that are dead. It was us. It was preached to us because we were dead. We were separated and we were dead. That they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. And though I still have a sin nature, and though I still have the remains of the fall, and though I still die because God's merciful provision to take me to heaven when I die is supposed to leave me here in a fallen state, I live in the Spirit of God. And when I live in the Spirit of God, I start to experience that love of God again. And that which was lost when we separated ourselves, and you know what, we did separate ourselves because all have sinned. That which was lost when we separated ourselves from God is now restored by a life with the Spirit. And the perfect love that casts out fear comes into my heart and I don't have fear anymore. And I don't have to say, God, I was afraid because I was uncovered and naked and so I hid myself. Now I say, God, I'm naked, cover me. I run in my failure to God rather than running in my failure away from Him. I don't separate myself when I fail. I cling to my Savior. I cling to the blood of the Lamb. And I completely get restored by God in the midst of my failure. Because I'm already washed in His blood. Before the failure came, I was washed in the blood. So the provision was there before the failure even took place. And now I don't have to run. Now I have the gospel. Now I have the finished work. Now I have the blood. Now I have God's mercy and God's love. And that love will draw me to Him. In Jeremiah 31, right? I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn thee. What did he say? With loving kindness I have what? I have drawn you back. I have drawn you. I have brought you back from the separation that you gave yourself. And I have brought you back to myself because I have shown you loving kindness. And it's through the love of God that we enter into that Holy of Holies. It's through the love of God that we go up to the mercy seat that has the blood sprinkled on it. And the blood is sprinkled there not because it's God's seat, The blood is sprinkled there because it's my seat. And I sit down in the mercy of God. And I'm completely restored and redeemed. And I'm completely reunited to Him in a complete and full fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God as I take in the Word of God, and He causes that Word to become life in me, and Christ is formed in my heart because the Word became flesh. It was the Holy Spirit that made the Word to be flesh and made it alive. It's the Holy Spirit that makes it alive in my heart. And as I receive the Word of God, as I fellowship with the finished work, as I enter into His mercy and the veil is rent, I go in, I march in to the Holy of Holies, and I make myself at home because that is in fact my home. See, we are seated above in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father in Christ, where He makes us more than victorious, where He makes us more than conquerors, and no one shall separate us from the love of God. Why? Because He has reconciled us back unto Himself. And Jesus said, I have not lost anyone who You have given Me. And so now we say, who can separate us from the love of God? Can angels, principalities, powers? Tribulations? Nakedness? Hunger? Can my problems separate me? Can the issues that I have at work or in my family separate me? Who can separate me from the love of God now? Christ died. He took my place. He's in the separation. And I'm in the reunion. He took my place. And He seated us in the heavenlies. And that's where we live.